May only his word be spoken, only his word heard. Amen. Good morning to you all. I'm glad you're here. Glad you're watching. Soul rest from Matthew chapter 11, our gospel lesson for today. You may not know the name Steve Bing. I didn't either. But on June 22nd, 2020, age 55, Mr. Bing jumped out of the 27th floor of his apartment to his death. It was not an accident. It was a suicide. His apartment was in the 20th century building on Santa Monica Boulevard in Los Angeles. He was a movie producer, and he owned his own production company. But get this, at age 18, he inherited $600 million. He was handsome, and he hobnobbed with the rich and the famous. He was partnered with Elizabeth Hurley, and by her had a child. He also had a child by another woman. In both cases, he vigorously denied paternity. It was only later that it came out that he had, by DNA, that he had fathered those children. So why at age 55, with all the things that really he had going for him, did he jump out of a building? You might say he was a lost soul. Everybody has a soul. Of course, there's no place in science for a soul. But there's good reason to believe that we have soul. There's plenty of evidence. And most importantly, God tells us that we have a soul. It says in Genesis that when God created man, he breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. We have that imprint of the eternal, the almighty, the all-powerful God within us. And we were explicitly given a soul because every soul needs God. We need God in our lives. Jesus spoke of souls. He said, "What good would it be if a man gained the whole world but forfeited his soul?" Or, "What can you give in exchange for your soul?" Matthew 16:26. And then there's this scripture, "Do not be afraid of those who kill the body, but cannot kill the soul." And then, of course, there is today's scripture where Jesus tells us, "Come to him that you might find rest for your souls." You have a soul. We have a soul. Maybe those who are smart in their own eyes don't believe in the existence of a soul. But Jesus thanks the Father that this kind of information is believed by those who have a childlike faith and not by those who think they're smart, right? Now, as you know, souls can become weary and burdened. Soul fatigue, this weariness, comes from worry. Anyone here cease to worry about everything? No. Right. It's far different than physical fatigue. Physical fatigue makes it easier for us to go to sleep. Soul fatigue keeps us awake. Right? We might say of someone, "He carries the whole weight," or "She carries the whole weight of the world on her shoulders." Worry about the present, worry about the future. And it goes hand in hand with the burden of guilt and regret. Is this what was bothering Mr. Bing? Was he burdened by his sins, by his regrets, by his guilt? A disconnected soul can be swamped by the burdens of life. We need God. We need his forgiveness, Jesus' forgiveness. We need the grace that he brings. Life can actually get too hard for people, too much to endure. Obviously, we can ignore our souls. And I would say a lot of people do that. We try to fill that inner core, which is our soul, with all kinds of other things. Our pursuit of money, our pursuit of pleasure, food, entertainment, alcohol, drugs. Actually, we try to shove into our soul all kinds of things. You know? All kinds of things. But it doesn't stop the growling of our soul. It doesn't. Because our soul yearns for the Lord. Longs for the Lord God. No substitute will do. So, disconnected from God because you're trying to shove your soul with other things. If you stay disconnected, things will gradually get worse and worse and worse. You can almost see it in the faces of people. You ever looked at a person and you say, there is a troubled soul. There's a troubled soul. Well, we who are believers in Jesus can have that look sometimes too. Can't we? But we know what to do. We take strength in the Lord. We run to Jesus. We cast our anxieties on him because he cares for us. He'll take those worries, squeeze them out of our life. What does Jesus urge us to do when we're heavy laden? Well, he says, take my yoke upon you. That may sound a little strange to our ears. Because when I looked at that picture, I thought, yeah, but you still got to be an ox. And that's a burden. I've never in my life wanted to be an ox. But to be connected to Jesus, to wear a yoke. So now that you saw the picture, if there's any doubt, a yoke is a crossbeam connected to two animals. It doesn't have to be oxen, right? And they can carry a whole lot more weight. But it still seems like a burden to me. Let's figure this out. Jesus says his yoke is easy and his burden light. The Bible uses the word easy only one time. That's right, here. His yoke is easy. What did Jesus mean in saying it's easy and it's light? Well, clearly, if you're connected and yoked to Jesus, we are walking in tandem with him. And he gets to set the pace. He gets to set the direction. We can't race ahead of him, and we certainly don't want to be dragged, all right? We're going with him. And he carries the greatest burden. Our burdens don't just cease, but he's carrying the heaviest weight for us. John Ortberg, in his superb book called Soul Keepings, writes about the pace and being hurried. He writes this, being hurried is an inner condition, a condition of the soul. It means to be so preoccupied with myself and my life that I'm unable to be present with God, myself, and others. I'm unable to occupy this present moment. And busyness migrates to hurry when we let it squeeze God out of our lives. I cannot live in the kingdom of God with a hurried soul. I cannot rest in God with a hurried soul. Jesus was often busy, but never hurried. Now, as much as I like that quote, I would have used the word, instead of hurried, harried, distracted, you know? And when we're hurried and distracted, we think, I got to do something. I got to get it together. I've got to do this and I do that. You know, in those times, we need solitude. We need times of rest. Perhaps more than that, of being alone with God, we need worship. When you come to worship, you're actually pausing your life. You're actually resting. and you're taking strength from the Lord. I don't know what you came in here with, what concern you did. You probably know what mine is. A lot of you do, right? I'm having a double hip operation. Am I harried by that? Yes! But I'm taking strength in the Lord. I'm taking strength in Him. And I want to be yoked to Him during that entire surgery. Right? I want to find my strength in Him. Jesus said this. Well, Jesus, God said this. Actually, through David in Psalm 23. What did He say? He said, I suggest you go to the green pastures. No. He said, He makes us go to the green pastures. Right? He says that. He says not only that, that He leads us beside the still waters. And He restores our souls. Now, mine might be a little thing compared to what you're facing. I want to tell you, He's yoked to us. He's going to help us in our time of need. In our natural bent, we're so ready to accomplish the challenges that we face with our own strength and our own power. Our priorities are more important than His priorities. But if we're yoked to Christ, He sets the direction. He sets the goal. And He sets the priorities. And what does Jesus say of Himself? Did you catch this? He says He is gentle and lowly in heart. There were times when Jesus was not gentle, But basically what it's saying is, by saying He's gentle and lowly, is that He's aware of the difficulties of life. He empathizes with us and is sensitive to the pressures of life that we're undergoing. When it says He's lowly, it means humble. Jesus, despite knowing who He was never high and mighty. Jesus wasn't arrogant. He didn't brag or put on airs. He was a contrast to those snotty Pharisees and those haughty priests. And though He was a true king, He wasn't like the pompous, imperious Roman rulers. No, Jesus carried Himself in an unpretentious and simple way. And by the way, that's how He would have us be. Are you better than most people? No. We're all flesh and blood. We all face some of the same problems in life. What I face, you face. Jesus taught us, rest in Me. I know what it's like. I know how hard it can be. Why is this important that He says He is gentle and lowly? It's important because Jesus understands how it is here. He lived it, but He also observed it in people. He knows how stressed we can become, how harried we can become. He knows that there are times in life with it, if one more thing drops on us, that we're going to break down. He knows that. I think a lot of people know that. I know it. You probably know it too. I can't take one more thing, right? I think we're experiencing a lot of that in our country today. How can we take one more thing without losing it, right? Jesus answers that, be yoked to Me. Let Me carry the burden. Let your soul find strength in Me. Now, I'm going to suggest to you this morning with this theme that verses of Scripture come to mind. And I think you should leave here making one verse yours. It doesn't have to be the three I'm going to suggest, okay? My go-to verse is Psalm 46:10. Be still and know that I'm God. So when I'm in crisis, which is probably coming, I'll say, be still and know that I'm God. Be still and know that I'm God. Another great one is Isaiah 26:3. You will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you. Isn't that a good one? Right. How about John 14, 27? Peace I leave with you, my peace I give you. Now you pick one. You don't have to pick one of these three, although they're very good. Just pick a verse that when you get slammed, and we're all going to get slammed in this life in one way or another. We are. Let's face it. That verse is memorized. Make it a short one. You know. Another good one is Romans 8:28. You know, all things work together for good to those who love him and called according to his purpose. You like that one? I love that one too. The ultimate peace that God brings us is because we're right with God through Jesus Christ. And he's taken our sins. So we confess our sins, he takes them. We take communion. He assures us that we belong to him, that he loves us, right? He loves us. He'll never forsake us. You know, one could hope that the Steve Bings of our world would meet Jesus, come to believe in him, and find peace in their life, peace in him. But you know, if you think about it, that's our job, isn't it? We're the one that's supposed to send out the invitations. Come to Jesus. Learn what Jesus is about. Why do we use his name so much? Because he's our strength. He's our Savior. He's our Lord. You watch for those moments in people's lives when they're facing crisis. That's when the invitation is best given. I mean, it can be given at any, and it should be given at any time. But that's when often it's very effective. You know? Come to Jesus. Listen to my verse. Listen to my verse. Come to know him. Today, you here and you watching, Jesus is calling you to be yoked to him. Let him bear the burden. Let him take on your struggles. He'll be there for you. He will indeed. Please, by all means, heed that call today. In the name of Jesus and to his glory, amen? Amen. Amen. Let's rise. Now may the peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus now and always.